This programme was previously broadcast live on Love Sport Radio, so some items may be out of date. For more podcasts or to listen live, visit lovesportradio.com.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, between 1 and 2 o'clock. Coming up over the next hour, we'll be continuing the reaction to the news that Jose Mourinho is in at Tottenham. Mauricio Pochettino out. So many questions to ask. Will Christian Eriksen, Turbi Alderweireld and Jan Vertonghen all sign new contracts now that Pochettino is gone? Will Harry Kane stay at Tottenham? How much money will Jose have in January? And where might Mauricio Pochettino end up? Bayern Munich seemingly are leading the race. Should Arsenal go for Mauricio Pochettino? How would that go down in the white side of North London? We'll also be talking a little bit about Manchester City and Aston Villa to come later in the hour. Manchester City involved in one of the big games of the weekend at home against Chelsea on Saturday evening. Remember, if you want to get in touch with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp here on the Premier League Fans Show. That number again, 0208 70 20 558. If you want to get in touch with us, we want to hear from you. Obviously, the main story doing the rounds is obviously Jose Mourinho, but plenty more going on in the Premier League. So don't be afraid to get in touch with us here on the Premier League Fans Show. Let's obviously continue the discussion surrounding Jose Mourinho. He is in at Tottenham. He took training yesterday afternoon. Plenty of pictures in the papers today. It still seems a little bit weird seeing Jose Mourinho holding up a Tottenham shirt and being in the Tottenham gear yesterday, taking training, pictured with Harry Kane, with Danny Rose, with Dele Alli as well. And there are still so many unanswered questions that we are wondering what the answer to them is. Obviously, Jose Mourinho has penned a deal until the end of the 2022-2023 season. Is supposedly on double what Mauricio Pochettino was on. And there's been such a contrast in views between former professionals, current or former managers, journalists, as to whether this is a good or a bad move. My opinion, I think it's a car crash and it's an awful appointment. Other people see it very, very differently. But there are a number of big questions that will be asked over the coming weeks and months. One of the biggest ones is surrounding Harry Kane. Obviously, Tottenham's talisman has had a great qualifying campaign for England ahead of the Euros and one of the most probably sought-after centre-forwards in world football. On the back of the Times today, Mourinho's pledge to Kane. Jose Mourinho follows his appointment at Tottenham yesterday by sending Harry Kane a text message pledging that the pair will win trophies together. Also on the front of the Telegraph, Mourinho, Kane must stay. New Spurs manager tells Levy he can deliver trophies, but only if star striker is not sold. It does say that Tottenham are not making him available for a transfer, but he values him at £250 million. I wonder what people's views are on that. Is Kane worth that? Is he worth more? Is he worth less than £250 million? I suppose it depends on a potential interested club, because a value of a player really nowadays depends on the value to that, but to that club that the player may go to. Because for let's say Manchester United, that he would be worth a lot more to them than, let's say, Barcelona or Real Madrid, because there's more of a need for Manchester United for a player like Harry Kane. But the interesting question would be, is Harry Kane going to stay around because Jose Mourinho's come in? Or will he look at it the other way, having such a good relationship with Mauricio Pochettino? If Pochettino were, say, to go to somewhere like Manchester United, would Harry Kane follow suit? One of the other big ones is surrounding what some are deeming, including Lee McQueen from Last Word and Spurs, the contract rebels. Christian Eriksen, Toby Alderweireld and Jan Vertonghen in particular. The big question is now, are they going to sign new contracts now that Pochettino has gone? It seemed like with all three of those players, the relationship between themselves and the manager had waned quite significantly. We've seen in recent weeks, or the last few weeks of Pochettino's reign, the likes of Eriksen slightly outcasted, and Pochettino's done that over the last few years. Players that are refusing to sign new contracts, players that are maybe looking for a move, he pushes them to the sidelines and doesn't play them a huge amount. Mourinho has come out and said that obviously, ideally, he would like these players to sign on and therefore to keep them. But if they're not committed to being there and they don't want to be there, it feels like Mourinho will move them on. Although with Christian Eriksen, wasn't necessarily a huge amount of proper interest in him over the summer. Actual proper bids on the table. I think a lot of clubs are seeing what's going to happen here, and foreign clubs can start speaking to Eriksen from the 1st of January for a free transfer next summer. So I think clubs are looking at it and thinking, actually, it's probably worth our while waiting a year and then potentially signing him on a free contract. But will those players, now that Pochettino is gone, are they going to think differently about their next move? One of the big ones is the money issue in terms of how much will Jose have to spend in January and how much will he have to spend in the summer. You would think, based on the narrative that everyone's been using over the last couple of years, that because Pochettino wasn't given a huge amount of money, that it would seem strange if another manager did. And I think it would feel like a bit of a kick in the teeth, a smack in the face, if Pochettino had left and then literally the next window, Jose Mourinho was given a significant amount of money. But as I was discussing with Martin Bell on his show between 10 and 12, surely Jose wouldn't have gone into this job without the assurances, the promises of money to spend. Because you look through Mourinho's times at Chelsea, at Inter Milan, at Real Madrid, and then in his last stint at Manchester United, that he spent hundreds of millions of pounds. And you can't imagine that Jose would have stepped into this job if he was going to be told, you're going to have very little funds to play with. Who will he target? In the papers this morning, some of the rumours suggesting Paulo Dybala, who they were interested in the summer, as they were Bruno Fernandes, that those two players they are looking at bringing in, or rumoured to be bringing in. In the Telegraph today, they're linking Tottenham with moves for Ruben Dias, the Benfica centre-back. Obviously, a compatriot of Jose Mourinho has been linked with Manchester City in recent weeks as well. Nathan Ake is another player as well that Spurs supposedly have a long-standing interest in from Bournemouth. Maybe they might be quoted too high a fee, but a few players in there. It's going to be really intriguing to see the movement at Tottenham. Who will come in? And also, who will leave Tottenham? Will some of those players that are out of contract, I can't imagine Jose Mourinho keeping them on any longer than he needs to. I think he will push them out of the door pretty quickly. And who will he look to bring in? And also, Mauricio Pochettino, what does the future hold for him? A bit of tongue-in-cheek, but some people are suggesting, should Arsenal go for Pochettino? Martin Keown, former Arsenal defender, definitely thinks so. But supposedly the links are strongest with Bayern Munich at the moment. Today, Sky in Germany reporting that Bayern Munich are considering Mauricio Pochettino for a permanent role from next summer. Hansi Flick will continue in a temporary basis, but he could take over next summer. I still think there's a big chance that Pochettino will end up at Manchester United. And I still think 4th of December, when Manchester United host Tottenham at Old Trafford, still think there's a good chance that it will be Mauricio Pochettino against Jose Mourinho, but I think a lot of clubs will be interested. I can see that Pochettino is a good manager, but I don't think he's anywhere near an elite manager. He hasn't won anything. You can say all you want about the constraints, etc., blah, 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 but Mauricio Pochettino as a manager has won nine. He's won nothing. And I just think that sometimes people forget that and sort of sugarcoat it and make excuses for it. But ultimately, you are determined as a manager by winning trophies. And even though I think Jose Mourinho's appointment's a bad one, he is a proven winner. What I think will happen, though, is he's been left behind. He was an elite manager 5-6 years ago. He no longer is, but he is a proven winner. He's won 25 trophies, competitive trophies in his career as a manager, whereas Pochettino has zero. But I think that there will be plenty. There'll be Manchester United, there'll be Bayern Munich, there'll be Paris Saint-Germain, there'll be Real Madrid, there'll be Barcelona, there'll be plenty interested in him. We will be hearing from Jose Mourinho's first press conference as the Tottenham manager at 2 o'clock this afternoon. It will be at the start of the Championship Fan Show, but a pretty significant one. I imagine no matter what Jose Mourinho says, it is going to be pretty blockbuster at 2 o'clock. Just looking at some of the other news stories around the Premier League at the moment, Liverpool were to reveal Anfield Road End expansion plans. Back a few years ago, Liverpool expanded the main stand at Anfield to take the capacity to 54,000. There were plans in place for a small increase in capacity at the Anfield Road End, about 4,000, that the Liverpool hierarchy decided against because they were pursuing a bigger renovation, a bigger expansion of the Anfield Road End to take the capacity above 60,000. So that is in the early stages. Obviously, Liverpool have been building a new training ground that's going to be opened next summer. So that's been their main concentration. But now the attention is starting to switch to expanding Anfield again. And it could be, well, will be with the Anfield Road End that will take the capacity above 60,000. So that's in the early stages of some discussions between the members of the public and also Liverpool Football Club as to expanding the Anfield Road End to above 60,000. And Marcus Rashford has been talking. He backs Ole Gunnar Solskjaer. Maybe no surprise to see a player that's in good form backing the manager, but he said there's no one better for Manchester United. Marcus, I don't think you're believing what you're saying there. But anyway, I suppose that's not a surprise that a player of the club would say that. As I said, I just think that news this week, Pochettino being sacked, I think Ed Woodward would have been scrambling around for his phone thinking, this is an opportunity now. They don't need to pay any compensation. They don't need to pay a huge amount of money to get him out. I think Manchester United will be interested in Mauricio Pochettino. Also, a bit of Newcastle news. Steve Bruce said that the club are confident that Matty Longstaff will sign a new contract. Still doubts over whether Sean Longstaff will sign a new contract at Newcastle. Some positive news on the injury front for Newcastle. Fabian Scherer, who's been one of the top centre-backs, probably in Premier League football for the last 18 months, is available for Monday night's game at Aston Villa, as is Florian Lejeune, who's been out for a long while with a serious injury, I think since April. So he could be back in contention for Monday night's game at Aston Villa. We will be talking a little bit about Aston Villa later in the hour. They host Newcastle on the Monday night football. Plenty still to come, though, here on the Premier League Fan Show. We'll be talking about Manchester City. They have a pretty significant game against Chelsea on Saturday evening. Also, Jamie Carragher suggesting that if either Manchester City or Liverpool were to change managers in the near future, Mauricio Pochettino would be pretty high up on those shortlists. We'll get the views on that. But up next, we'll be continuing to talk about Spurs. Which players come back into contention after Mourinho's arrival? Will some of those contract rebels sign new deals now that Pochettino has gone? And looking ahead to Mourinho's first game, it's on Saturday away at West Ham.
Love Sport.
So we're going to be talking about, obviously, the big story of the week. Pretty massive in the world of the Premier League. It's Pochettino out, Mourinho in at Tottenham ahead of a big game for Tottenham, a London derby at West Ham on Saturday. To get the Spurs perspective, as we have been the last few days, I'm delighted to say we're joined by Chris Callum from Last Word on Spurs. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Chris. So the dust has settled a little bit. Jose has his first press conference in just under an hour's time. Now that you can kind of, you've had a few days to think about it, what is your feeling at the moment in terms of the feeling towards Pochettino, who's now left the club, and Jose Mourinho? Would he have been the man at the top of your shortlist to replace Pochettino?
I've got to admit, when the news came out about Pochettino, I was absolutely gutted. I didn't expect it to be so soon. I thought that Pochettino, from what he'd done at the club, you know, his first season in charge, he got us into Europa League football. The last four seasons, he's got us to Champions League football, had very little investment, done wonderful things at the club, laid some fantastic foundations and took us to places where we didn't think that we could go. Champions League final, not spending any money in 500 days, just simply incredible. Proves what a fantastic manager he is. The results this year, 2019, haven't been what we're used to under Pochettino and not what we expect. 3 wins from the first 12 Premier League games this season. So I think that something had to give, and his attitude wasn't quite right in the last couple of months, ever since the summer, actually. I think it all started when he said in the Audi Cup that he wasn't the manager, he was the coach. There were lots of things going on in the club, and it just seemed that the players weren't playing for him. Very, very sorry to see him go. But if you were to ask me who would take over at Tottenham, Jose Mourinho would have been at the top of my list. He's a born winner, trophies, just ooze out of him. And I'm you know, after a couple of days of having it now, I feel very very excited that Jose Mourinho is our manager, and we need a trophy. You know, we haven't won a league title since 1961. We haven't won a European trophy since 1984. We haven't won an FA Cup since 91, and the last trophy we won was in the League Cup in 2008. So it is way overdue. Tottenham Hotspur Football Club need trophies, and I do believe that Jose Mourinho is the man to deliver them.
Do you think, Chris, that the players let Pochettino down? Because if you're believing some reports, there's some suggestions that, not a guarantee, but that some of those contract rebels, Toby Alderweireld, Jan Vertonghen and Christian Eriksen, might be more inclined now to sign new contracts. Does that make you feel rather disappointed in these players, that they've let down a manager that quite clearly a lot of Tottenham fans really respected and really liked, and yet now that the manager's changed, their feelings have completely switched around, and suddenly they're feeling committed to Tottenham?
I feel disappointed by a number of Tottenham Hotspur players. You know, for someone like myself who goes home and away and goes to every single game, you know, there were so many low points during this season. You know, to lose 7-2 at home, worst European feat in the club's history, to Bayern Munich a couple of months back. And you had games at Brighton away losing 3-0 where you just saw that certain players just didn't want to know, didn't want to turn up at all, didn't want to know whatsoever. There were so many low points. The Newcastle 1-0 home defeat this season, so many low points. And yeah, I do think that some players really do need to look at themselves and think that perhaps they were responsible of getting Mauricio Pochettino the sack. But it'll be interesting now to see what Jose Mourinho does. You know, certain players do want away. Will they sign new contracts? Well, that's up to Jose Mourinho now. Perhaps he'll want them there, perhaps he won't. It'll be an interesting next couple of months.
I suppose, Chris, now the attention turns to how Jose Mourinho will play and what his tactical approach will be at Tottenham. How do you see things changing? Because obviously, Pochettino and Mourinho are very different style of managers, so there is going to be a change. What formation? Do you think Jose will try and change things quite quickly, or do you think he will take a little bit of time, in particular towards the January transfer window, and then when maybe he can bring a few players in, push a few players potentially out of the door, that's when you might see kind of a real change into what Jose really wants to implement?
I think it will be a gradual thing. I think that Mauricio Pochettino, as I said earlier, I think he's laid some fantastic foundations. I don't see a lot changing instantly. I don't even see that much changing in January, perhaps a couple of players in and a couple of players out. But I think that he will really want to stamp his authority and stamp his mark on Tottenham Hotspur Football Club in the summer, and we'll see a drastic change of clientele. You know, a lot of players coming in and out, and he's got this period now. You know, after 12, 13 games in the Premier League, he's got this period now of experimenting and seeing who he wants to keep and who he doesn't for next season. But ultimately, the club's goal is to finish, you know, playing Champions League football next season. So it's very, very important that we get that fourth place or higher. And right now, you know, we're sitting in 14th place. We're going into the West Ham game on Saturday, sitting in 14th place. We've won 3 out of 12 Premier League games. So, and we haven't won away in the Premier League for 10 months. So, you know, what a great time for him to come in, and wouldn't it be a great start for him if we started with a win, having not won for 10 months away?
We'll talk about the game in just a few moments' time. We've mentioned the January transfer window there, Chris, and you suggest maybe there'll be a little bit of movement, but not a huge amount, as is usual, customary in the January transfer window. I'm assuming that defensively is the area that you're looking at. What would you be looking to do if you were Jose Mourinho? If you could make a couple of signings, what would they be? And you mentioned a couple of players might leave. What type of players or who would you be looking to potentially move out of Tottenham?
Well, I think Christian Eriksen is the obvious one. He's wanted away for some time now. And even with the appointment of Jose Mourinho, I think that he will still want away. He's had this ambition of finding another club and having that fresh challenge. So I think he will want away. We've missed a good right back this season since Kieran Trippier left. that is an obvious one. I'm surprised that we did start the Premier League season without signing a right back, having let Kieran Trippier go. But we do need to strengthen the squad defensively. Defensively, you know, the team has been really let down this season, and we've conceded a lot of goals and lost a lot of matches and lost a lot of points. So defensively, we do really need to strengthen. And I would really love to see a decent backup striker coming in as well to relieve Harry Kane sometimes and play those cup matches as well.
One of the interesting questions inevitably when there's a new manager that comes in is how some players who were flavour of the month start to kind of fall out of favour with the next manager, and some players that weren't in favour do suddenly become really important players for them. One of the players that's been mentioned quite a lot as to who's been on the fringes of this Tottenham team is Eric Dier. And a lot of people suggesting that he is the type of player who could force his way back into the team under Jose. He was supposedly interesting Manchester United when Mourinho was there. Do you think it's pretty likely that Eric Dier will come into the team maybe on Saturday? And would you be happy to see Eric Dier come back into the fold on a regular basis for Tottenham?
Everybody, every single player, including Eric Dier, has got to give 100%. You know, everyone's starting afresh, everyone's starting from scratch. Jose Mourinho is going in there with fresh eyes, and the players need to impress him to play any game, let alone a Premier League game. So it is now time for everyone to impress, and that's what I'm saying, that Jose Mourinho will see who he wants to keep, who's given the right attitude, and that's what it's about, giving the right attitude. And, you know, if I was a player for Tottenham Hotspur Football Club right now, and then Jose Mourinho walked in, everyone, that place should be buzzing right now. And, you know, he is a serial winner. And some of these players now will think, wow, he's won, we are about to do the same. And let's hope that that is the case.
So, looking ahead to Saturday, a pretty significant game for Jose Mourinho's first game in charge of Tottenham. It's away at West Ham. These derby games are always feisty. With a new manager, does that completely change your kind of view going into this game? Were you perhaps a bit worried about this type of game if Pochettino had still been in charge, and now there's been a change, Mourinho's going to be in charge for a couple of days in training before the game, are you now thinking with a kind of huge amount more of confidence going into this game?
It's funny you should ask that, because I wasn't feeling that confident when Pochettino was manager. Even though I love Pochettino as a manager, the form during this year just hasn't been that great. The player performances have been dreadful. You know, some of the games that I've mentioned, Brighton away, for instance. But going into this game, every single player is going to want to impress Jose Mourinho. Everyone is going to be playing for him. Everyone's going to be playing to get in that starting lineup. And I'm hugely excited. I think that it will give the fans a huge lift. I think it will give everyone in the football club a huge lift. And as I said, Jose Mourinho is a serial winner. He demands respect, and he demands to win football matches. And I'm super excited now for Saturday. And I'm going into this game fully confident that we're going to get 3 points.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Chris. That was Chris Cowlin from Last Word on Spurs. Remember, you can catch the Tottenham Fan Show tonight. It is set to be a pretty interesting and intriguing few hours between 7 and 9 tonight on the Tottenham Fan Show with Last Word on Spurs. And I believe there'll be some very special guests from the Amazon Prime documentary filming tonight. So make sure you look out for that one. Obviously documenting the fans' reaction to it as well. I mean, what a season to choose. Amazon Prime would have been licking their lips. Some people joking, maybe Amazon Prime were in charge of the decision, that they decided, right, to make it a more interesting documentary series, sack the manager, get Jose Mourinho in. You couldn't have written a better script for Amazon Prime doing a documentary, fly on the wall documentary series this season. It's sometimes a bit boring when you've got a club that does really, really well. Certainly, when you've got a situation like there is at Tottenham, it is certainly very intriguing. But it's interesting to hear Chris. I don't really get it with Tottenham fans, actually, because he said that he was a massive lover of Pochettino, but he believes that Jose Mourinho is a serial winner, so he believes it's a good appointment, and the confidence has completely changed. I don't really get how you can have, it's kind of a contradictory point of view, that you were delighted, you loved Pochettino, but now you've got a new manager, you're delighted with that. It's as if they flip-flop very, very quickly, and it's the fickle nature of football. It really is. And the point of view of the fans, if you compared that today to what it was on Monday night, it's completely different. It's a very, very different way that Tottenham fans are viewing it. There are still some that are pining for Mauricio Pochettino, but a lot have said, oh, we like Poch, but we like Jose more. I suppose a lot of fans are like that, but it's very interesting to hear Chris's view there, that he has a lot more confidence going into this game away at West Ham. I mean, BT must be licking their lips at the prospect of having this game. Their whole pre-match build-up will be dominated by chat about Tottenham appointing Jose Mourinho. I don't think they'll be talking about Gerhard Struber going in at Barnsley. They'll be talking about Mourinho. And literally, you could probably have a whole show just dedicated to either Jose Mourinho or Mauricio Pochettino. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558. We're on Twitter, Facebook and Instagram at Love Sport Radio. We are also on WhatsApp. We're going to be talking Aston Villa later in the hour. They play on Monday night against Newcastle. They're in a bit of a slump after three straight defeats. Newcastle, on the other hand, back-to-back wins the first time since April. But up next, we'll be talking all things Manchester City.
This is Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. Remember, if you want to get in contact with us this afternoon, call us on 0208 70 20 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be talking all things Manchester City now, and I'm delighted to say we're joined by Andy Hampson, PA journalist for the Northwest. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Andy. Before we get on more about Manchester City specifically, inevitably, everyone's been giving their views on Pochettino out, Mourinho in at Tottenham. Interesting comments by Jamie Carragher saying that if City or Liverpool were to change their manager in the near future, Pochettino would be right at the top of their shortlist. Do you think that Jamie Carragher has a point there, that if City or Liverpool were to think about making a change, or if Jurgen Klopp went to go and manage Germany, or if Guardiola went back to Bayern Munich, would Pochettino be right at the top of their shortlists?
Absolutely, I think so. Yeah, I mean, it's not too long ago we were talking about Mauricio Pochettino in the same breath as both of those two. Personally, I don't think Jurgen Klopp is going to be going anywhere for the near future, but Pep Guardiola, I think there is a bit of uncertainty over how long he's going to be at City. It's possible he may not be here this time next year. Yes, I think Mauricio Pochettino will be an excellent choice for them. I still rate him very highly as a manager. I'm very surprised Tottenham have made his decision to fire him. It came as a shock to me. Happened very quickly. I mean, yes, they've been in poor form of late, and it's not been going as well as last season, but I still think he's an excellent manager.
So let's concentrate more then, Andy, on Manchester City. They're fourth place at the moment, 12 games in on 25 points. They're 9 points behind current leaders Liverpool. City's Champions League group is going as everyone anticipated. How do you think Pep Guardiola will be looking at things as we come out of this final international break of the calendar year? Where does he think City will be at, and what will his feeling be currently at Manchester City?
Well, I think what happened at Anfield a couple of weeks ago was a blow. Liverpool did land a good shot on them, really, but it wasn't a knockout blow. Are capable of turning this around and getting back into this. What we saw last season, they generated win after win after win, got on a very good run. They're well capable of doing that again. Obviously, the key thing is, are Liverpool going to drop points? And they don't look like they're going to drop many at the moment. Key period coming up, I think, for City now, but before the end of the year, they've got some tricky games, and they're still going to be without Aymeric Laporte, who they're missing so much, really. The best centre-back at the moment is Fernandinho, a converted midfielder, that they really need some defensive solidity back in the game, and if they can get to January, maybe bring someone in, or maybe if Laporte can come back ahead of schedule, that will pick things up. But Guardiola, he always gets the best out of his players game after game. I'm sure he will have use this international break to have a look at where things quite went. I haven't gone quite right this season so far. I'm sure it'll come back and get them fired up going into a big game against Chelsea on Saturday.
You mentioned there, Randy, about the absence of Aymeric Laporte and how much Manchester City are missing him at the moment. I know Pep Guardiola would never publicly admit that he made a mistake in the summer transfer window, but do you think the fact that we're hearing quite a lot at the moment of City potentially being interested in a centre-back in January, Ruben Dias from Benfica, even the Leicester duo of Johnny Evans and Chaglar Sionku have been linked with moves to Manchester City. Do you think privately, Pep Guardiola, I know you can never account for someone getting a serious injury like Laporte did, but do you think he is looking back thinking, I made a massive mistake not replacing Vincent Kompany in the summer?
Yeah, I think so. I think you're absolutely right. I mean, he won't admit it. But yeah, they really did need to bring a centre back in. And they did bring in Rodri, who's been a good signing. He's a very good player. And City have been looking to strengthen in that area of the field for a long time. They tried to sign Jorginho last year. It didn't quite work out. So they had been looking there for a while. But I think once Vincent Kompany decided he wasn't going to continue, I think their priorities should have changed then. And they should have made sure that they brought in another centre-back. Because really, he seems to have lost confidence in Otamendi and John Stones. He's relying on Fernandinho. But losing Laporte has been such a big blow that they should really have gone for a central defender. They did want Harry Maguire. They tried to get him, but they didn't want to get involved in a bidding war with Manchester United. And that's come back to haunt them, really. They could have had Virgil van Dijk a little while ago, but again, they didn't want to pay the asking price. He's gone to Liverpool. He's doing fantastic there. They must really be kicking themselves that they missed out on him. They didn't want to pay these prices, but these are the market rates these days, and they've got to pay what they're being asked to pay, I think.
Looking forward to the games ahead for Manchester City, and between now and the new year, there are some tough games in there. Manchester City haven't played a lot of the big six. You look at between now and the turn of the year, City play Chelsea, Manchester United, Arsenal, Leicester and Wolves in that time. Some of them away, some of them at home. This is going to be a tricky period for Manchester City, and they're already 9 points off the top. Do you still think, Andy, that City are fully capable of going through that stretch where they've got games away at Newcastle, for example, Burnley in there as well, which could be tricky games? Do you think that City are still capable, with the pressure on them now, of going on a long winning run for the next couple of months?
Well, I think they're capable of it, as we saw last season. They're a brilliant team when they're in the mood, but this doesn't look like the team of last season at the moment. There are vulnerabilities there. I mean, they're still a wonderful attacking side. We saw that at Anfield. They're the best team for quite long spells in that game, but they ended up losing the game because they're vulnerable at the back. Liverpool attacked so well on the counter-attack. They hit them so well, and they made them pay the price there. And obviously, there's some good teams there with some good players who can punish them if they don't sharpen up at the back. Obviously, Edison coming back this weekend possibly is going to be is a key thing for them. You know, they miss him when he's not there. He does exude confidence, and he fills the rest of the defence with confidence, really. But yeah, this is a very tough run coming up before the end of the year. Really, Liverpool have had the tougher fixture list so far. You know, City are really, really must be kicking themselves that they haven't picked up the points where they should have picked them up, because these next games are going to be very tough.
Next up for Manchester City is a pretty big one, the biggest game of the weekend. Well, unless you count West Ham, Tottenham, because of the Mourinho situation. But City play Chelsea on Saturday at the Etihad. In terms of team news, you mentioned, Andy, there's a suggestion that Edison might or could be fit for Saturday. Bernardo Silva is banned. What's the latest on some of the team news, or will we have to wait until we hear Pep Guardiola's press conference for more?
Well, we've not had any updates for a couple of weeks now since before the Liverpool game. We'll hear tomorrow from Guardiola when he speaks. Edison has been training, so he published some pictures of him this week back on the training field, so that's very encouraging. He's such an important player for them. Well, obviously, we're not going to see Emerick Laporte back yet or Leroy Sané. Alexander Zinchenko has been out a little while as well. Not too sure where he is. I think he must be getting close to returning. He's probably a more solid option at left back than Angelino, so I think they'd be happy to have him back. But yeah, we'll have to wait and see how everyone else has come back from international duty. Obviously, Bernardo Silva, as you mentioned, is banned. They're going to be missing him. Although he's not been in great form, I don't think, this season. He's been lacking a little bit of a spark, and so is David Silva, really. You look at the City team, you say Aguero, Sterling, De Bruyne, they've been the key three. Yeah, a little bit of spark missing from the rest of the team. I think they need to find that this weekend. And it's a good game for them to do that. If they can go out there and play well against Chelsea, get a rousing, resounding win against Chelsea. If Liverpool do slip up at Crystal Palace, which is possible, I suppose it's a tricky place to go to. They're a decent team. It's the first game after the international break. You never know. I mean, that could give City the confidence they need to push on and get back into this race.
We were talking, Andy, about Chelsea earlier in the week and saying that for them, a couple of the games coming out, City on Saturday and then Valencia in the Champions League, were big games to really understand where Chelsea were at, because against the better sides, they're seemingly coming up short and being proven that even though they're a decent team, they're not as good as the top few in the Premier League, Liverpool, Manchester City. Do you think this weekend City will look at it and think, because of the number of goals Chelsea scoring, you've already mentioned the vulnerabilities at the back for City that weren't necessarily as obvious last season, that City fans might be slightly tentative, slightly nervous about this game because of City's defensive problems and Chelsea's free-scoring attack, or will City fans be thinking, you look at Chelsea's defence, is still frail, still vulnerable, and City can outscore Chelsea quite considerably on Saturday?
Yeah, I think it could go either way, but I think there should be a little bit of concern because Chelsea have won six on the bounce. I think that they're playing well, that their confidence is growing. They look a good unit. I like what Lampard's doing. A couple of players are in absolutely outstanding form. I'm thinking particularly Willian and Christian Pulisic. They look very dangerous players, and you've got the enthusiasm these youngsters have brought in, like, you know, Hudson-Odoi and Mason Mount and Tammy Abraham. They do look, you know, a really promising team, and you know, they're very dangerous as well. I think City should be wary, but yeah, City have got a fantastic attack, and if Aguero, he played fairly well at Anfield, but he obviously didn't have his shooting boots on. He always seems to struggle there. If he's back on his game, and obviously with De Bruyne and Sterling in tow, I think City should have a threat, and I think City should be good enough to win. But as I say, there are vulnerabilities there, and it could be a really good game.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Andy. That was Andy Hampson, a PA sports journalist for the North West, talking there about City's defensive vulnerabilities and how Chelsea might be able to exploit that. I still think, though, on Saturday, because City lost, obviously, just before the international break at Anfield, meaning they're 9 points behind Liverpool, they'll be looking for a reaction, and they'd have been stewing over that for 2 weeks. So I think Chelsea are a decent team, and they're doing better than I'd anticipated. But I would not be surprised if City absolutely destroy Chelsea on Saturday, because even though City defensively are looking poor and Chelsea are scoring goals, I just think the amount of possession that City will have, and I look at Chelsea's defence, and I don't think enough people are making enough of the fact that Chelsea are still all over the place defensively, and I think City will put five or six past Chelsea. I really do. I think it'll be quite a high-scoring affair because I don't see City keeping a clean sheet, but I think it would be foolish to think, oh, are City going to drop points again? I think this City side have proven the last 2 years. They've got 198 points from the last two seasons. Anyone thinking that City, that I think they are more fallible this season and they are perhaps a bit more exposed, especially with Laporte injured. But this is still one of the best sides we've seen in Premier League history. Don't just think that they're going to suddenly fall apart now. I think they're going to have a big reaction on Saturday at the Etihad. And I think Chelsea will think, actually, even though they might think it's a good time, I think it's actually probably quite a bad time to be playing Manchester City, because they will be desperate for a reaction. And interesting to hear Andy's views there that Pep Guardiola, there continue to be rumours linking him with a move back to Bayern Munich or a move elsewhere. He's talked up Serie A. Andy's suggesting there, Pochettino would be right up the top of Manchester City's list if Guardiola does move, which could happen. He said he wouldn't be surprised if in 12 months' time Guardiola is no longer the Manchester City manager. So, if Pochettino's not snapped up, could City potentially be looking at him? Remember, if you want to get in touch with us, would Pochettino be a good fit at Manchester City? Call us at 028 7020 558 or WhatsApp us on that very same number. We're going to be turning our attention to the Monday night football. The final game of the weekend is Aston Villa at home against Newcastle. Villa on a bit of a poor run, but they have had three tough games against Manchester City, Liverpool and Wolves, where they've had three straight defeats. We'll be getting the Villa perspective next.
Love Sport.
This is the Premier League Fan Show with me, Kieran Critchard, up until 2 o'clock this afternoon. We're going to be talking all things Aston Villa now, and I'm delighted to say we are joined by Max Stokes from the Villa On Tour YouTube channel. Thank you very much for your time this afternoon, Max. So, it's been a bit of a slump in form for Villa, but it's important to point out the opposition over the last three losses have been Manchester City, Liverpool and Wolves. Does that make you think, and in there were some decent performances or decent halves that Villa played. Do you think, even though it's been three straight defeats, there are still positives to take, and you do have to add in the rather significant caveat of the opposition they were playing against?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the Man City and Liverpool games, before those two games, I don't think we were expecting anything. Obviously, Dean Smith goes into games wanting to win every single game, but you've got to be realistic about these things. Manchester City and Liverpool Football Club are massively ahead of the rest of the Premier League at the moment, and a newly promoted side, you're not really going to be expecting to go up there. And, you know, we saw against Liverpool, we put out a really good, really good fight. We were, you know, minutes away from getting 3 points, even 1 point against them. So there's a lot of positives there. Again, first half against Man City, lots of positives, but Wolves, There was literally nothing there at all. You know, a lot of people are blaming it on there was no Grealish there, no Tom Heaton, no Engels at the back. But you can't blame that performance on three injuries, because it was that poor. We just didn't turn up at all. I know a lot of people call it a derby. You know, it is a little bit feisty, but you've got to turn up in those games, and Wolves just look like they wanted it more than us. So that is a little bit worrying. I know Grealish is back now. So, you know, the only positive you can really take from the Wolves game is that hopefully in our next game, there's going to be some sort of reaction, because we definitely need it, because there was absolutely nothing in that Wolves game.
I was going to mention, Max, about the injury latest, the fitness latest on some of those players. Tom Heaton, who had to withdraw from the England squad, is he likely to be back on the weekend? And with Jack Grealish, do you think, had he not picked up that injury and been struggling with it for a few weeks, especially with some of the players that have pulled out of the England squad, do you think he would have been called up to Southgate squad had he not been struggling with an injury?
Well, that's a really tough one. I think I'm not too bothered that he wasn't called up, because at the end of the day, you know, he had this injury, and if he was called up, it might have aggravated that. You know, he's had the international break now, 2 weeks to kind of recover from that, sort himself out, get back into, you know, light training and then full training with Aston Villa, rather than, you know, maybe making it worse with England. But his time will come. He's only 24, so he's got lots of time on his side. I think, you know, we've got a few friendlies. I think the next international break's next year in March, I think. So, you know, and that's only a friendly. So I think we could, you know, if Grealish keeps up this form, I don't see why he can't, you know, make an appearance in these friendlies. But Heaton as well, that's a tough one. I don't know. I think it's 50-50 at the moment whether he's back for Newcastle. He's a really good leader on the pitch, and we do miss him when he's not there. Again, on number two as well, Jed Steele is not fit, but Grealish is always the main one. We definitely missed him against Wolves. That creativity, that flair, you know, that creative aspect, scoring goals in the midfield just wasn't there. And there was a lot of pressure on McGinn in that game when Grealish isn't there. So it is a tough one. I think he's back now, though, and hopefully we can see that reaction that we need against Newcastle in our next game.
You mentioned that game, Max, as if you can read my mind, as looking ahead to that game on Monday night. So home against Newcastle, and add a bit of spice. It seems this weekend as if games have just been spiced up a little bit more. Obviously, it's the return of Steve Bruce to Aston Villa. What do you anticipate the reception being when Bruce returns? The reception he'll receive, do you think it will be a positive one, or do you think it will be a rather more frosty one to go with the weather we've currently got?
I don't know. I can't speak for other Villa fans, but for me, I don't think there'll be anything there. You know, I don't think he'll get booed or anything like that, because at the end of the day, when he came in, Aston Villa were in a massive mess. We've just been relegated to the Championship. You know, there was Roberto Di Matteo was there. He got sacked after 10 games, and the club was in a mess. I think we were near the bottom of the Championship. And at the end of the day, he came in and sorted us right out. He got us up there, you know, steadied us in that first season. And then in the next one, we progressed, got to the playoff final. And yes, that playoff final was really bad when we lost to Fulham. That first half especially, where there was just literally no tactical nous there from Bruce at all. But, you know, I'm not sad or angry at Steve Bruce or anything like that. I don't really have an opinion on him. You know, he left. The club was in a horrible way in terms of the ownership and the fact that they gambled, you know, with all our money and things like that. So I don't think there'll be anything there. Obviously, I want to get one over on Steve Bruce, because he did turn on the fans a little bit towards the end of his reign. But I'm not going to boo him or anything like that. At the end of the day, I just want 3 points no matter who we're playing. So, yeah, it's going to be a little bit interesting, but I just want the 3 points. That's the main thing.
Are these the sorts of games, Max, that at the start of the season, when the fixtures are released at home against Newcastle, you're thinking, not it's an absolute must win, because that is a bit ridiculous to say that only in November, but the types of games that Villa needs to realistically be winning? And do you think also that it being on a Monday night, I know it's one of the biggest cliches, playing under the lights is an advantage, but it does just feel like playing on a Monday night and Newcastle having to travel down in the cold on a Monday night, that could play into Villa's hands playing on a Monday night?
I hope so. You know, I think the atmosphere at Villa Park is always good, but especially on a night game. We saw it when we beat Everton early on in the season. That was a Friday night. I just think there's something different about night games. Like you said, it is a little bit of a cliche, but you know, Villa Park under the lights is going to be really, really good. The atmosphere is going to be bounced in Newcastle. It's a long journey. Their fans, it's going to be a long journey for them. Obviously, they'll sell out because it's Newcastle. They've got good fans, but it's going to be interesting. You know, Monday night, like you said, it's going to be good. The atmosphere is going to be rocking. And I think we're going to do it. I'd love to get the 3 points, and we definitely need it, like you said, against these teams that, you know, end of the day, they are going to be around us. I know they've won their last two or three games, so I think they're 13th at the moment. So it's going to be interesting. But like you said, these are the games we have to be winning, especially with the teams around us. Yeah, we need these points. It's just important that we don't lose. You know, 3 points would be brilliant. But it's the main thing is just not to lose. But it's going to be interesting. I think we're going to do it again.
Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon, Max. That was Max Stokes from the Villa On Tour YouTube channel. Looking ahead to that game on Monday night, it is Aston Villa against Newcastle to round off the weekend's action. Maybe a positive, actually. You get a bit more time after the international break to get your players back in training and therefore prepare for this game. And it does feel like it could be an advantage for Villa to be playing under the lights on Monday night. Jack Grealish could or should be fit for Villa on Monday night. Villa looking to stop a bit of a slump in form, losing their last three games. Newcastle looking to win a third straight game. Obviously, we've been talking a little bit about Manchester City earlier in the hour. Andy Hampson suggesting that if Guardiola were to leave in the next 12 months, which it is a potential thing to do, that Mauricio Pochettino would be right up there. He'd be right near the top of the shortlist to take over from Guardiola. We heard from Chris Cowden from Last Word on Spurs talking about how he feels like some of the players have let did let Mauricio Pochettino down. But Mourinho's a born winner, that the confidence has completely changed, especially going into this weekend's game on Saturday lunchtime away at West Ham, that the views going into that game have changed quite a bit after this change in management. Jose Mourinho took training for the first time yesterday afternoon. He will be in charge for Saturday's game against West Ham. Mourinho's made it clear Kane must stay. That was part of, the agreement when he first joined. And you'd imagine that he wouldn't have agreed to take over as the manager if he hadn't been promised funds in January. So interesting to see who they sign in the January transfer window. And also, will some of those contract rebels sign new contracts now that Pochettino has gone?
This is Love Sport.